I want to welcome those who are watching online, and you are entering our second of three worship services here at Emmanuel, and we are delighted you have chosen to watch this morning. We're in a series of messages entitled The Face of Grace, and we've been asking the question, what does grace look like? That is an extremely important question, because you may say you believe in grace, but what is it? When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, when you became a Christian, the Bible says the God of all grace called you. You see, you didn't wake up one morning and just think to yourself, hey, I think I'm going to become a Christian. You aren't smarter than your next door neighbor. You aren't wiser than the person you work beside. The God of all grace called you. And your mission is to reflect Him in a world that doesn't know Him. So, when you can figure out what grace looks like, then you figured out what God looks like, for He is the God of all grace. That means you're to be a grace person. Your life is to be gracious. You're to be full of grace, just like Jesus, of whom the Scripture says He was full of grace and truth. Now, word order is extremely important in the Bible. The word which comes first is emphasized more than the word which comes second. In other words, if you're going to err in your life, err with grace. Have too much of it, because it's more important than even truth. Grace is first. Truth is second. Why? Well, truth without grace is mean. And grace without truth is meaningless. And I've discovered that people will not listen to you if they think you're mean. So you have nothing meaningful to say. Until they realize you're gracious. So, this morning, as we continue this series, we've been looking at how a mind of grace thinks, how a mouth of grace speaks, and we close our look at eyes of grace and what we see this morning, and pick up next week with the ears of grace what we hear. But this morning, I want you to see that grace people have eyes that are open to the frailty of others. Let me show you what I mean. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, which is our text, writes to the Christians who live in Philippi. That's a city just a little bit to the east of modern Greece and a little bit west of modern Turkey. These Christians living in Philippi were living among some pagans who worship false gods. It was a culture probably not very dissimilar to our culture today. And the Apostle Paul writes to them and says this, "Let your gentleness be known to all." Now, I'm reading that verse, Philippians 4, verse 5, from the New American Standard Version. And it says, "Let your gentleness be made known to all." But that word gentleness is translated with the word meekness in other portions of the Scripture and other versions or translations of the Bible. For example, in Matthew 5 and verse 5, Jesus uses this same Greek word translated gentleness, but it is translated meek. Blessed are the meek. You could use the word gentle. For they inherit the earth. It is also the same word that Jesus uses of himself just a few chapters later in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, where he says, I am gentle, that is, meek at heart. So, this morning, I want us to see that when the God of all grace calls you into his family, indwells your heart, changes you, conforms you day by day into more of a reflection of his image, you, God's people, are to be gentle or meek. I'm going to show you a picture as we begin our look at what it means to be gentle to the people around us. Do you know what this is? It's the shell of an egg where the yolk has been removed and an artist has carved the egg using a very sharp, small knife. I can't even peel a hard-boiled egg without breaking it. But artists, this has become all the rage, particularly in Japan. They've created international art guilds revolving around sculptures made from egg shells. I mean, it's incredible. These are beautiful, and they're very expensive. I was showing this to the pastors at our 7 o'clock prayer meeting, and one of the pastors said, well, you know, I've seen a guy who's taken a pencil, the lead at the end of a pencil, and he's carved sculptures out of that lead. I said, yeah, it was probably the guy carving the egg, and he dropped the egg and switched to pencils. I don't know. My point to you is this. Think about the artist and the egg. That artist is meek, gentle, just like you're called to be meek and gentle with the people around you. Meekness does not mean weakness. Can you imagine the discipline it takes to sculpt the shell of an egg? Can you even fathom the strength, the perseverance, the endurance, the goal setting that it takes to be a great sculptor of eggshells? Takes a lot. Just like it takes a lot of strength, discipline, perseverance, endurance in your life to be meek. Meekness is not weakness. When you come around people, and you and I come around people every day of our lives, we are to reflect the God of all grace, and we are to be the kind of people who exhibit strength under control. It is the ability to be strong, but to contain it. It's the ability, like the artist of eggshells, to know what your goal is and to get there, but to do it gently. To be meek is to know your heavenly Papa. I use the word Papa instead of Father because of my friend William Paul Young, who wrote The Shack. And he convinced me that the word Father in our culture today is very formal, very official. But when it was used in Bible days, Abba meant Papa. We are to call our Heavenly Father Abba. When you know Abba, when you know your Papa, He's the creator of the universe. He has everything under his control. He's on your side. You don't have to be strong. In an uncontrolled way, you can be strong in a meek way. When my boys were young, I took them to karate lessons. We didn't last long in the karate lessons, but long enough to learn a couple of things that I've never forgotten. Our instructor said to us that you always know the guys who know how to fight because they're the ones that are always under control, never insert themselves in a situation, are always observing and gentle. But it's the insecure. It's the people who don't know who they are. They're the ones who are uncontrolled, and they're the ones who fight at the drop of a hat. I've never forgotten that. When you know who your papa is, then things in this world can look a little out of control, but you remain under control because you know the God who is in control. That's meekness. To be meek is to know your earthly purpose. You are called by God to be gentle. You are called by God to be meek. This is who you are as a grace person. This is what grace looks like. So meekness doesn't mean weakness. It's the height of strength. But what meekness does mean is a lack of meanness. Let me show you what I mean. The Greek word translated gentleness or meekness, and in some translations, it is the word reasonableness in English that is used, is the word epieikes. And this word is used throughout the New Testament, and let me show you where. First, it is used in 1 Timothy to describe the character of a pastor. In other words, a pastor, a shepherd, is to imitate the chief shepherd. I am meek, he said. I am gentle in heart. So too, an under-shepherd is to be gentle with the flock, gentle with people. A couple of weeks ago, there was a pastor in the greater Chicago metropolitan area, a celebrity pastor, a pastor of a very large evangelical church. It's a Southern Baptist Convention church. He was removed for being mean, for being a bully, for yelling and cursing at his members. And particularly in the church, there was a woman named Julie who had begun to speak out against some of the abuses of her pastor. She was a journalist. She was a female. And she began writing. She had gone privately to try to correct some things and didn't get anywhere. So she wrote a couple of things publicly on what's called a blog. The pastor sued her. And then Christianity Today allowed the pastor to post an editorial, a guest editorial, in essence, slamming the woman as a woman without Christian character because of what she had been saying. Well, I wrote a post. about bullying a female member of that church. And the editor of Christianity Today began communicating with me. And one of the things that we talked about in the back and forth is that the character of a pastor is to be a character of meekness, a character of gentleness. That means even when people slam you, and I know that that pastor felt like he was slammed, you're to respond with controlled strength. the character of a pastor. And you have every right, if you're in a church, and I would join you in this, if you ever feel like the pastor, the teaching pastor, is mean, a bully, hammers you, you have every right to leave. In fact, I would probably stay and seek the removal of the pastor because he's disqualified himself for not having epieikes, meekness, gentleness. Are you with me? It's used in James 3, verse 17, to describe wisdom. In other words, do you know who you ought to be getting advice from? It's from the people who show gentleness. I can prove this to you almost innately. What I mean by that is this. You will know that I am telling you the truth by pulling up on your memory wall. You going to your grandparents. And you sitting down with your granddad or your grandma. Someone with silver hair who experienced a moment with you where you felt their gentleness, their meekness. It's one of the reasons why in the New Testament, the scripture tells us that assemblies like this, they are to have leadership, both male and female, made up of people who are older. That's all it means, older. Now, we take the word elder, which means older, and we bestow some kind of spiritual authority in it. And so you get young pastors or male pastors in great celebrity churches who think they've got authority over people. And we've missed the teaching of Scripture that the leaders of evangelical assemblies, those people who follow Christ, are to be silver-haired, gentle people. You say, Pastor, can't a young person lead an assembly? Well, of course they can, but it's very rare. And you better find someone with a meek heart. Probably the best example I could ever give of this is a woman by the name of Gail Hackett. First Baptist Church Enid is celebrating their 125th anniversary today, and we have several of our people who are over there. Dr. Charles Wade is the guest speaker, a good friend of mine from Texas, a former pastor of First Baptist Enid. Gail Hackett was from First Baptist, had transferred her letter to Emmanuel. She eventually became the chairwoman of our leadership team. She died a couple of years ago, and I miss Gail and her husband, Herman. But this silver-haired woman was one of the most gentle women I've ever been around. That's the evidence of grace in your life. It is used as well in Titus 3:2 as something that you are to teach others. Paul writes to Titus and he says, Titus, when you go out and minister, and Titus was a young pastor, you are to work at being meek. You are to work at being gentle, and then you are to instruct others to have epieikes in their lives, to be gentle. Are you with me? Now, this morning, 7 o'clock, we prayed for these services, and one of the things that we prayed for was this. I can guarantee you that some of you this week have had the worst, most rip-roaring fight you've ever had in your home this past week, and now you're coming to Emmanuel and you're hearing a message on epieikes, on gentleness, on meekness. Maybe there was some cursing involved. Maybe there was some yelling. Maybe there was some meanness. Are you with me? What does that mean? Does it mean you're not a Christian? No. No. It just means that strength has become uncontrolled, that you've lost your sense of grace, your sense of meekness, your sense of gentleness. And uncontrolled strength reveals insecurity. When I look at my own life and I get loud, direct, bossy, controlling, mean, it's always because something is going on inside of me. Something that I'm thinking, something that I'm feeling based on insecurity. For instance, I'm not getting what I need. Well, I've forgotten who I am because my papa has promised to meet my every need according to his riches. For example, I'm not liking the situation I'm in. Well, I've forgotten my papa, who's promised me that he will work all things for my good. I feel like that my character has been impugned by what's been said. Whoa, my insecurity's showing. I've forgotten who I am. My papa has told me that I may never measure up, but he loves me anyway. That person that is important to me is not thinking highly of me. Oh, why do I need that? When my papa says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What happens is, when my strength becomes uncontrolled, I am revealing my own insecurity. And it isn't my character. It's not your character. When the God of all grace saved you, he gave you the grace of meekness, of gentleness. You say, well, then explain to me how a Christian can display strength in an uncontrolled fashion. And by the way, your strength may be different than my strength. Your strength may be your logic, and it's uncontrolled. My strength may be my voice or the way I can use words, and it's uncontrolled. Your strength may be withdrawing and being okay for days without talking to a soul. You can get by with that. But you're using it in your insecurity to hurt somebody else. I don't know what your strength is, but when it's out of control, it's not who you are. And you ask me the question, but how can that be? How can I act like somebody I'm not? Let me see if I can illustrate how it happens to all of us. Let's say that we have a big barrel up here, and it's full of wine. I'm going to use a biblical example, because they used to keep wine in vases or big containers. Okay, now if you've ever smelled wine, you know it has a distinctive smell. If you ever smell wine that's been spilled on carpet, it takes a long time for the smell to get out. Let's say that there's an empty vase next to the full one, and you pick up the container full of wine, and with the help of a friend, you pour that wine into the empty container next to it. And then you set that vase down that is now empty of wine, and you fill it with fresh, clear water all the way to the top. Then you take a cup, you dip it in that water, and you walk away, and you drink the water. You will smell wine. You will even taste wine, because the water is contained in a barrel that had been saturated with wine. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he doesn't change the barrel. Your flesh remains the same. You have the same memory wall. You have the same habits. You have the same things that you've done over the course of many years. And then, like J.W. said earlier in the service and giving his testimony, Christ comes and inhabits you, and he changes your heart. He changes your character. But there are times in your journey, times in my journey, when we will begin acting like the way we used to be. We will let our strength out without any control. So when that happens, you get in a rip-roaring fight, and you yell and you scream and you curse and you walk out and you say, I want nothing to do with you anymore. Be quiet. Stop. Out. Get out of my life. Watch. This uncontrolled strength needs your confession. That's all. That's all. You say, what do you mean? Well, a grace person recognizes when meekness is not present, when gentleness is not there, and is swift in apology. I remember a couple of years ago, I asked the question, how often do you think Pastor Wade apologizes to the people he loves? How often? Give me a number. And I think what I said was probably an average of 7 times a day. And someone came up to me afterwards and said, are you kidding me? 7 times a day? And I'll never forget it. This person said, I don't think I've ever apologized or sought forgiveness during the entire tenure of my Christian life. And as we were talking about that, you know what I discovered? I discovered that this person felt that acknowledging a lack of control was a sign of weakness in their Christianity. No, it's just the opposite. When you display uncontrolled strength and then you come back and seek forgiveness for that, that is meekness. That is gentleness. That is taking ownership of the fact that your flesh began to be seen, that the smell of your old life was all around the room. And you just simply say, listen, will you forgive me? I'm so sorry. That's not who I am. That's not who God has made me. I apologize. That's like the sculptor taking that egg and just gently correcting an error. But I close by showing you this. Meekness or gentleness does not mean speechless. In other words, the idea that a Christian is meek doesn't mean that he always keeps his mouth shut. After the first service this morning, I had a young man who came to me who had heard the message, and he said, listen, somebody that I love, there's a friend of mine that is saying some very cruel things about this person, and I feel like I need to go to them and say, listen, did you say this? And if he did, I need to say, you need to stop, please. I said, well, of course. And he said, but if I understand you right, I need to be gentle. Yes, absolutely. And then he said this, that person that's saying those things is not a Christian. And there's no telling how he will react to the fact that I have gently asked him to change his behavior because he's saying things that are hurtful to another person. I said, no, I know. So are you ready for whatever reaction you get? He said, what do you mean? I said, let me tell you something. When you speak the truth, even with grace, you can't control the reaction of the people who hear the truth, no matter how gracious you are. Because what you may think is gentleness, they think is crossing an appropriate boundary by saying things you shouldn't be saying. How dare you say that to me? Who do you think you are? I will do whatever I want to do. And by the way, this is what mean pastors do to women in their churches. How dare you question me? Okay, now when that kind of thing happens in response, how do you respond? Well, let me tell you how I respond. I'm grappling with this. I really am. When I was a kid, I was bullied by an older boy who every day at recess ran me down until one day I successfully resisted him and told him, look, do what you have to do, but I will never run again. You and I are going to have a confrontation. I was scared to death. He left me alone. I successfully faced down a bully. But what's happened is those emotions are now on my memory wall. And anytime I'm seeing somebody abused by another person, I have a tendency to become a bully myself. And I'm grappling with this. I personally think that's part of my flesh. Part of my flesh pattern of the fact that I was able to defeat a bully, and so I'm going to defeat your bully. And then I come across passages like this. Do not take revenge. Leave room for God's just wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I guess what I would say to those of you who follow Christ, you're going to have a lot of wounds in your life. You're going to have a lot of things that happen that hurt. Meekness means you have the controlled strength to wait for God, who has a lot more wisdom than you, to make right what's wrong. That's gentleness. That's meekness. And it's your character. It's what grace looks like.